Grace and peace to you from God our Father, from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Our thoughts for our sermon today reflect on the gospel reading we just considered, the Palm Sunday account, as Jesus rides to Jerusalem on a donkey. It seems so strange, doesn't it? It's like a Palm Sunday in Advent. What's going on with this, that we are considering Jesus riding on a donkey to Jerusalem in Advent? It's so strange what we're doing. Just a week ago, we were considering Christ as the King who comes in all glory on the clouds of heaven, and to him are given a kingdom with all power in heaven and on earth, and now, the next week, a donkey? It's so strange. It's like a Palm Sunday in Advent. We do it every year, but it kind of catches us by surprise that we read this Palm Sunday account on the first Sunday in the Advent season, every year, in most churches. Jesus wants us to be ready. He has need, which is equally strange when we consider that our Lord would have need of something. But he has a need, and his need is to make us ready for his coming. And the only way to be ready for his coming in Bethlehem is with our sights set on Jerusalem. Because that's where the gospel text, the gospel narrative is taking us, from Bethlehem to Jerusalem, and it's focused there. And it helps bring everything into perspective so that we're ready not just for his first coming in Bethlehem, but also for his second coming, the end of the world, to understand why the Lord has need. It seems so strange, unexpected. It's like a man who stops and asks for directions. So strange. It's like a man who admits he's wrong. Strange. And a man who stops and asks for direction, admits he's wrong, and then asks for help. Kind of a strange thing, right? But the Lord has need. The Lord has need, and it's a strange thing that's happening, that Jesus would ask for help. The Lord of heaven and earth is asking for help. He says, if they ask you why you need this colt, tell them the Lord has need of it. The Lord has need of this donkey. So strange, and yet so fitting. Because his sights are set on one thing, fulfilling what God has promised to do, his sights are set on Jerusalem. And you see it throughout Luke's gospel. He's building to this point. All the way back to chapter 9, where Luke writes, "Now it came to pass, when the time had come for him to be received up, he set his face steadfastly to go to Jerusalem." And again in chapter 13, Luke writes, "Now he went through the cities and villages, teaching and journeying toward Jerusalem." And then finally in chapter 19, Jesus is getting closer and closer. He's traveled through Jericho, just a few miles away, and his disciples are thinking, okay, the time has come. They think that the kingdom of God is about to appear, but not in the way they expected. The Lord has need of a donkey. Imagine that unexpected request. It is all about Jerusalem and Jesus showing us why he had to be needy. He had to take on our needs, whether it was his need to eat every day, be hungry, his need to be clothed and kept warm, his need for shelter, his need for money to travel. The Lord has need, and he's showing us his coming is all about his humility, accepting all of our earthly needs, but so much more. He's not just accepting our earthly needs, he's accepting our need for salvation, which is why he needs the donkey, because this has been prophesied by Zechariah. And we've said it twice in the service already. Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Your king is coming to you. He is just and having salvation, lowly and riding on a donkey. Jesus is subjecting himself to our needs and the needs of the scriptures so it all might be fulfilled. And we have needs too. Whether you're a man or a woman, we have needs to stop and ask for directions, to stop and admit we're wrong, to stop and ask for help. These are our needs. And this is why we call upon God day by day, because we have needs that are so great that only God can help us. And so we ask for help. We ask for forgiveness, and we see the Lord coming in all neediness with us to Jerusalem. It is kind of strange. It's strange and it's also surprising. It's surprising what is happening. It's like visiting before church and all of a sudden Jesus shows up. Would you be surprised? You're out in the entryway and you're chit-chatting. There's about 5 minutes before the bell's going to ring. And we're talking about the Bears-Packers game. Just happened. And we're chit-chatting about the weather and what happened at Thanksgiving and what our Christmas plans are. The pastor's out there. He probably should have everything ready. He should be in his office by now. But there he is. He's chit-chatting with you too. And all of a sudden, Jesus shows up. Would you be surprised? We need to be surprised, and yet at the same time, we shouldn't be surprised. We should not be surprised when Jesus shows up, but they're surprised when Jesus shows up, when the Lord comes, and he doesn't even ask. He doesn't ask for their coats. He doesn't say, I need you to give me your coats, I need you to lay them on the road, because I'm going to make my way to Jerusalem. No, he doesn't ask. But it's this surprising event where they're startled into acts of faith. They give him their coats off their backs. They place the coats on the donkey. They help Jesus to get on the donkey. They lay them on the road in front of him, and they let their Lord touch their coats. They don't know what else to do. It's all of a sudden that's just the moment is right, and this is what they do. They're surprised, and yet they're not surprised at the same time, because it's more than just the Lord needing their coats. What he really needs is our heart. The Lord has need, and he doesn't ask us either. When he shows up at church, it's a spontaneous thing. And yet, it's so expected. When we're getting ready for church, what do we expect to happen? Do we expect Jesus to show up today? And if he did, what would we do? We're all of a sudden startled because we're talking about the Bears and the Packers before the church service, and then Jesus shows up and we're startled and we don't know what to do. So we start saying, well, where would you like to sit down? And let me get you a bulletin. And the service starts soon, so we better all go sit down. And all of a sudden we're sitting in our pews, we're praying, we're thinking about what's going to happen here today, and yet this happens every Sunday. Jesus shows up every Sunday. It shouldn't surprise us when he shows up. He shows up when he brings us to church, and he shows up with the visitor that walks in the door and sees what's going on here. He brings visitors to our church so that they can see, oh yeah, this is a people who expect Jesus to show up today. And he doesn't ask. And yet we know it's right. We know he doesn't want our coats, he wants our hearts. And we're surprised at the same time. Jesus comes and he surprises us with his word. When you're listening to God's word, listen for the things that surprise you. Jesus needs a donkey. Listen for those things that surprise you and find yourself surprised by Jesus. So that all of a sudden your conscience is just aware of something it wasn't aware of, some sin that's going on in your life that you hadn't thought about for a while. And all of a sudden you realize Jesus has shown up in your heart. It's a surprising thing. It's a strange thing, it's a surprising thing, and at the same time it's undeniably different than anything else we experience in this world. Think about it. When we come to church, what are we doing here? It's so much different than anything else in your lives. When people come in who don't know anything about Jesus or church or the word, and they see what we're doing, it seems weird. It's unlike anything else. We come in and we sit down for no apparent purpose. We're not here to conduct a meeting. We don't have an agenda of things we want to accomplish. We don't do much of anything. We just come, we sit down, and all of a sudden we're talking, we're singing, we're praying, we're splashing water on people's heads, we're eating these little crackers and drinking these little cups of wine, and there's this guy standing up in this big dress, and he's in a podium above everybody, and what is going on? It's undeniably different than anything else, but the Lord needs it to be. He needs our praises to be different than anything else. He needs our praises, and so many don't see what's going on. When the Pharisees come out of this crowd and they see what's happening, they don't understand. For the people to call him the blessed king who comes in the name of the Lord is to call him God. And for them, this is just way out of the ordinary and way out of line. For them to call Jesus the king is to acknowledge him as their Lord, and that's the Messiah. And they say, Lord, rebuke your disciples for this. This isn't right. They're praising you, they should be praising God. And Jesus says, if these do not praise me, the very stones on the road will cry out in praises. The rocks will start singing. The creation will raise up and praise the Lord. Because it is so undeniably different, and yet it is so undeniably necessary that God's people praise him. We're going to sing it in our hymn after the sermon that Jesus comes to hearts rejoicing, bringing news of sins forgiven. Jesus comes in sounds of gladness, leading souls redeemed to heaven. This is what we see. We see Jesus coming, and he is bringing peace in heaven with him. Peace in heaven. You can't see it, and yet it's there. Luke is framing the goal of his narrative. Remember where peace was first spoken of by Luke? The familiar Christmas story? The birth of Jesus, the angels are coming to earth and they sing glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace. And now Luke has said, when Jesus comes to earth, when he's born, it's peace on earth, and when he goes to Jerusalem, it's peace in heaven. That Jesus has framed for us a story and a picture of salvation, which brings peace on earth and peace in heaven together in his coming. This is why we're here, to do something that to the world seems to have no apparent purpose, for us, we know Jesus is here. And he's framing for us a picture of salvation to be imprinted on our hearts so that our hearts rejoice. The word is alive and it's powerful, and Jesus' living presence are here when the water is splashed on the head, when we receive the bread and the wine, when the word is spoken in those lowly forms that are so different than anything else you know in the world. God has promised to come to us, his advent, to bring us salvation. If we didn't sing these praises, the pews would cry out. It's our exclamation point on all Jesus has done. It's strange, it's surprising, it's different, and yet for us, it's who we are. It's like a Palm Sunday in Advent. Truly fitting for us. Because how else can we view Bethlehem but as a frame to look toward Jerusalem? To be building our whole lives, our own narrative, toward the goal. Traveling with Jesus to the cross. Rising with Jesus from the dead. Being glorified with Jesus in heaven. Yes, the Lord has need for us to be ready. In Jesus' name, amen.